On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Residual self-destruct.
It's Football Friday, brought to you by Video Only.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll them.
Getting you ready for the football weekend. This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Football Friday on the Fan is brought to you by Video Only. If you don't, you'll be sorry. On 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning, hello. Our first full official Football Friday for both the NFL and college football.
185. Here we come! Here we come! It's a man's game now!
What the hell, man? Yeah! Yeah! 180! What the hell? What? Terrible! What's that? Somebody jump on sides!
Yeah. Here we go!
6-6! What is happening?
A thick six.
A thick six is happening, baby. Happy Football Friday, everybody.
That would be dirt in a youth extra large, a thick six.
Hey, you dare me to do something, I'm going to do it, man. I got there dared. I dare you to wear that jersey.
I want to see you high-stepping at some point in the show.
The only thing I'm missing is a bandana. That's all I'm missing today. You want some almonds? How you like me now?
Some bling.
I think this is payback for me buying a Colorado sweatshirt in Dion's first year and coming in randomly wearing it.
The morning after the Niners look fantastic, and are the story probably of the show.
Well, or travel plans. You know,
or
we'll
could
get
be.
To all of it.
Little jet lag, little tired.
What I'm confused of is you kind of grew up a pseudo Niner fan. Your dad very Bay Area adjacent.
Yes.
And you allowed yourself as a child to own cowboy merch.
Look, we're all front-running lost souls as children, no matter what our growing up fan base is, you know? We don't know where the North Star is. Cool things are cool things, man. And Deion Sanders only played 1 year for San Francisco. Who didn't love prime time when they were a kid?
How many years did he play for Dallas?
That's a good question. Was it three?
Two or three.
It wasn't as many long as
people think.
If he played 2 years in Dallas and only one more year than a Niner, come on, what are we
come
doing
on
here?
Oh, look, totally fair question.
Because he played a bunch in Atlanta when he was a Brave.
But both of you guys are way wrong, by the way.
Was it longer than that?
He played five seasons
in Dallas.
He got there
in
the 95 season.
I remembered it was only one in San Francisco. I knew that.
And then he played in Washington. And then I think he did the pseudo retired, not retired. And then he had was it Baltimore? Or am I thinking
Baltimore.
Of somebody
he
else?
Definitely came back and played for Baltimore for a little bit.
He took three seasons off, came back in 2004 and 2005 and played for Baltimore.
He did the MJ. I'm retired and I'm coming back and playing two more years.
Yeah, he just walked away.
Yeah, look, I have no rhyme of reasons why I own this jersey. It makes literally no sense to me. Also, how all of not all of my jerseys have made it this far in life. Some have just been lost by the process of time.
And no, exactly.
What happened to that jersey?
What
I don't know.
There?
And then randomly, I don't know what it was a couple of years ago, I get a box of old stuff, and it's like, what's in here? Let's check this out. I'm like, that's right. Wow. I owned a Deion Sanders cowboy jersey. Now, let me ask you this. The more random one to own, is it the Deion Sanders cowboy jersey that I own, or for some reason the adult extra large jersey that I bought when I was a kid? Why? I don't know. I have a Rams Kurt Warner jersey, too.
Oh, and it's you like jumped the, on the Rams.
It's like
Kurt
the
Warner?
Ugly, like, it's not the...
The dark blue and the gold?
It's the dark blue and the gold. It's a hideous jersey.
Such a terrible jersey.
Why would I have that? I don't know. And it was still in the box. It doesn't make any sense. But here we are.
Much like Jason Segel's character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he sees Sarah Marshall at the same Hawaiian resort.
I wish I wasn't wearing this stupid shirt.
There have to be so many Rams fans that at the height of their organization's existence... They're wearing the ugliest jersey in their organization's history and has to be like, I wish I wasn't wearing this stupid jersey.
Like those ones last night. Beautiful. The light blue, the yellow, it's a beautiful color combination. I love those jerseys. No issue with it. The dark blue and the gold is just...
It's a terrible rebrand.
It's a bad era of Rams football, man.
Now, let me ask you this random Deion Sanders question.
What do you got?
So he has Atlanta, San Francisco, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore.
Yes.
Five teams. Now, maybe this is going to be more about what kind of player he was, but what jersey did he look the best in? Because you bought a Dallas Cowboy. That was a choice.
I did. It was a choice.
You could have very well bought a Niner jersey because he also won a Super Bowl with the Niners.
The tough part with him with the Niners was I remember that. That was like my first football memory was them winning the Super Bowl in 1994, 1995. That was like, and we had the VHS tape and we watched it all the time. I was only like five, and that's not quite full kid jersey size yet.
You don't have a lot of great memories from the season.
No, I just remember the Super Bowl. I remember the NFC Championship game and then beating Dallas, but I wasn't quite in the jersey buying phase of my childhood yet. So I think that year made me fall in love with Deion Sanders, and then he went to play for another team, and it was like, wait a minute now. So I think that's why I ended up buying it. He looked it's either the Niners or the Cowboys.
No love for the Falcons.
I think the Falcons Dirty Bird jerseys
are pretty nice.
It's a good look.
That all black.
You're talking about that Niner jersey is one. We just talked about this this week. It's one of the best that exists in the NFL with the red, with the the blackout, the shadow. It's one of the best jerseys that exists. And look, we can all feel how we want to feel about the Cowboys. We can all hate the Cowboys. I usually do. I'm just doing this as a troll job because I picked them to win the Super Bowl. But their jerseys are iconic. I mean, they're beautiful.
Well, what I'd say about this is teams that you don't like or that you hate, I think it's also okay to say there's elements of it that you could admit are cool or nice.
Dude, the star on the helmet, the whole thing, it's a badass look.
Like, for example, being a Cowboy hater, I personally think it's incredibly odd that two players now have worn 88. That is Michael Irvin's number, and I don't know why two players have been allowed to wear it since he retired.
Have you heard his answer on that?
Well, he probably is very supportive and doesn't care, I would assume.
He kind of turns it around almost to a certain extent of not wanting his jersey retired.
I get it.
Because I think the answer I heard one time in a podcast, and this came up when the Jane Daniels thing got brought up again about not wearing number 5 at LSU, and I think it popped up into the algorithm again, where he basically said he likes when people wear 88 because when they make a mistake, he thinks that fans say, well, Irvin would have caught that ball. So whenever somebody's wearing 88 and they don't make a play, it's like, you know who would have made that play? The original. Original 88, but he wasn't even the original 88.
Have the Cowboys retired any jerseys? I know they have the Ring of Honor, but I don't
know if they've done the number thing, but who's been number 22?
Good question.
Who's rocking number 8? Yeah.
That's a good question.
Who's rocking 12?
Romo did. Romo was number
Romo
8.
Was
no,
eight.
He was number 9.
Oh, that
touche.
Yeah.
Think about it. There are some of those Cowboy
numbers.
Has anybody
worn 12? Did they retire? That was Staubach.
I don't know.
Let's see. They have never officially retired any jersey numbers.
But here's my point, though. Who is there a DB wearing 22 and I just am omitting them? Is there a quarterback that had 8 that I'm not remembering?
There's not one that stands out in my head. Let me look on their roster right now and see.
If you're going to say those two numbers are basically off limits without officially retiring,
then
88
retire.
Should too.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do it in numerical order. That's a pain in the ass.
In fact, the only time I've actually been, not a Cowboy fan, but a moment of like being more on the Cowboy side of any sporting event was when Irvin suffered his career-ending injury and had to be stretchered off at Veterans Stadium.
Yeah, right.
And they were all booing.
And everybody booed him.
And I just was like, how classless, man. Yeah. I don't like this guy, but I can acknowledge how crazy he is.
He's on a stretcher
now. He's on a stretcher.
I don't know if he's going to walk
his
again.
His career was over.
I just did a quick scroll through the roster, and I am not seeing a 22, and I am not seeing an 8.
And so I don't know who's worn those since both of those players have stopped being Cowboys.
So they're basically doing the LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy thing. You can't wear the number. It's not retired, but you can't wear the number.
Well, why is 88 not in that?
Right, but everybody wears 88.
Look, you can hate Skip Bayless all you want. Skip Bayless covered that team pretty closely, and Troy Aikman hates him for it.
Yes.
But Skip Bayless has always used the opinion of, Michael Irvin was actually the leader of that team. Of all of the circus that was going on with the drug busts and the Super Bowls and the success, it wasn't Emmett. It wasn't Troy.
No.
It was Michael Irvin.
He was the guy who was rallying everybody. This Google AI overview says nobody has worn 22 since
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. Yeah. Now, let me look at 8, just because that's, you know, it's a random.
Well, the question, yeah, look at 12.
0 players have worn 8.
8 and 12 are huge quarterback numbers.
Yeah.
Has anybody worn 12 since Roger Staubach?
Let's see. It's worn 12 since Staubach, 0 players.
Yeah.
So nobody. So they've retired them?
So they're pseudo-retired.
Pseudo-retired, yes. Yeah. They do not have officially retired jerseys. The organization treats 12, 8, and 22 essentially as unassigned out of respect for those three players.
How is 88 not in that?
Well, let me ask this, because this is this is like how we have two guys retired with the same jersey. Wasn't Pearson the original 88?
Yes.
As a Hall of Famer?
Pierce?
Drew Pearson?
Oh.
He was back in the day.
There were two Pearsons.
Was there others back in the day?
I think it was Drew. Well, there was Preston Pearson and Drew Pearson, and I forget who wore which
number. But wasn't that a known wide receiver number for Dallas, and it's been passed?
That was the original Hail Mary.
I get it, but Irvin has passed.
Tony Dorsett, has anybody worn 33?
That one is not listed as a retirement.
That's not a number I can recall seeing very often.
No, yeah, let's see.
Oh, Javonte Williams wears it.
Yeah, they got a guy on the team right now.
I think he wears 33.
Yeah, I would imagine that one's probably still alive.
Right?
Yes, they've given it to 8 different players.
Yeah, so Tony Dorsett, it's weird how they're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is Dorsett not count?
Why Staubach, Aikman, Emmitt, and everybody else just doesn't matter?
And the 88, they let keep going. You can still wear that one.
It's a weird thing because I make fun of the Yankees for this. I respect a lot of what the Yankees' history is. And,
sure.
Their museum at their baseball. I think that's cool.
Yeah, Monument Park.
I also think, at some point, the Lakers do this too. Iconic franchises in sports history. I love how much respect they pay to their legends.
Mm-hmm.
But also, after a certain point, the Celtics, you can only retire so many numbers, right?
Yeah,
the Yankees numbers are running out. The Celtics have numbers run. I'm weirdly in this spot of nobody should be able to wear this, but also I don't know if I agree with retiring numbers.
How about, here's I think a sweet spot on it. There should be a time frame in the jersey being retired to a next iteration of fans, if that makes sense. How long does a jersey need to be retired for? You don't need to retire it forever.
But Swag's life, if we're to assume deep down, without him ever admitting this out loud, he still has his Cowboy fandom. Flame flicker.
Oh, there's a flicker.
Okay.
It'll always be.
You
there.
Can't just extinguish that flame.
You can't snuff that flame out. No.
If we are to assume and operate that way, Swag has lived through 6 different generations of Cowboy teams in his lifetime.
Right.
So Tony Dorsett,
Roger
is
Staubach,
always going to be 33, no matter how good Javonte Williams or whoever wears it
is. True. Yeah, it's true.
22 will always be
Emmitt Smith.
Right. 88.
Yeah. 80 will be Tony Hill.
It's not
touchdown Tony Hill
over Jason Witten. Wasn't Jason Witten number 80?
No, 80 is touchdown Tony Hill.
But see, that's an era thing. 54
it's a generational is Randy thing, sure. White. You know,
you know what's flickering right now.
What was Moose Johnston's number? 48?
48. Yeah. And I had a Moose Johnston jersey.
Moose Johnston was great.
When you saw me walk in, did it move a little bit?
No.
No.
Come on.
It did a little bit. You know it did.
Look, you know I hate that team.
You know it did.
The Yankees and then the Cowboys are my two most hated teams in all of sport.
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't have abandoned it. there is a part of me that wishes you wouldn't have abandoned it.
Especially if they end up winning this year. It's going to be one of the funniest storylines possible.
Yeah.
It is going to be absolutely hilarious.
You want me to be old Joe Fisher? Is that what you want me to be?
No. I view you less. Well, what I would say is I've learned 2 things about 2 coworkers here, and I got to be careful saying people's names. They get real butthurt if I do.
They do.
You listening, Dave?
I love you, Dave.
There's 2 people in our building that have NFL fandoms, and they absolutely live in the, my team is amazing.
Yeah, no, don't criticize them.
You can't criticize anything. And then they rattle off winning the division when they're not very good and their division's bad. But they never win a playoff game.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing is awful. And I can't
For
live
some
in
of
that
them,
world.
Antonio Brown is the greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL. For some of them, that argument may or may not have been made. He's the greatest of all time.
There is a real, that's a real sentence.
Look at
that
the numbers.
Said.
Look at the numbers.
I did. The GOAT.
Look at the numbers.
How many rings they got?
Give me how many rings you got. But I just think fandom of the NFL is very, it's different, but it's very similar to college for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't criticize.
No.
But yet they scream at their televisions about their team. But if you say anything about
how dare you? How dare you question? I can question.
You were always very honest about the Cowboys, good or bad. And I wish you wouldn't have abandoned it for a team that I don't think you really care that much about. I'm sorry.
Tell us Tier Tart jersey comes in. That's right. Huh? Yeah. New fandom. New year, new swag.
Tier Tart is not Moose Johnston.
No.
Okay?
It doesn't hold the same spot in your heart, down in your loins. You know how that feels.
Do you still have your cowboy gear?
Yes, I'll have to go look.
Yes, he does. He did
somewhere,
not throw it away.
The other one I had, and it probably doesn't fit when I was younger, I had a Billy Bates jersey. I loved Billy Bates.
Billy Bates, big Billy Bates guy.
Gosh, you are just the king of off the beaten path.
The random ones are always fun to own, though.
They are.
You know, that's better than everybody in the stadium has.
He played with his hair on fire, like just ran around and smashed into people.
Yeah.
I mean, we always come to appreciate, like yesterday for me, we'll get to the Niner game. I just tell you full on, like I was on my couch smiling, seeing Dre Greenlaw and Deebo Samuel in the jersey again.
Yeah,
I'm like,
back in
vibes
that.
Are back.
Hey, that
made me feel, and then they had an impact.
And Fred Warner was healthy.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fred Warner.
You know,
now who?
It's funny what happens when you got available players.
I found this
maybe
for you,
like
as
a good
I was pulling audio yesterday.
I don't know if a linebacker, and I love Patrick Willis.
Yeah.
I don't know if a linebacker for my team and my fandom and my history has made it move quite like Fred Warner.
He's unbelievable.
He's just menacing. He walks around.
Yes.
He's permaflexing.
Makes you want to poop your pants if you see him. You're just like,
unbelievable.
Oh my God, that guy's intimidating.
Now, who were the teams that were playing in Australia?
The Niners and the Rams?
Well, the 49ers.
Oh, I know what you're going to... I was going to save this for the cafe. Go ahead, play. Yeah. I'll play it twice. I don't care.
We're watching some footy game in America, the Rams and the San Francisco 69ers playing some rubbish game.
49ers.
Wine 'em, dine 'em.
But that sounds much more interesting.
Yes. A lot of people might pay to see them.
That's what we were doing.
The 49ers.
That's much harder to explain to your wife.
Channel 9 News there in Australia.
I'm having a great time down here.
69.
I love the guy immediately chiming in. That sounds like more fun. I'd like to do that after the game.
You know, it's not the first time I've heard that, but that's great. I love that a news broadcast had that.
I love that somebody texted in, you're damn right. I could say something about my mama or my family, but don't let me catch you saying something about my mama or my family.
They can't harass our pledges. Only we can harass our pledges.
It's my wife. I can hate her. You can't.
I love those fan bases are hilarious, man. I had this yesterday with Seahawk fam where I uttered the phrase, you know, they're either the best or the second best defense in the NFL. Which I think is a pretty strong compliment of saying you're one or you're two, and Seahawk fan not happy with me. Not happy. How dare you even insinuate they're the number two defense in the league?
Well, weren't some of the metrics like they were? They
I
were
just said
basically
how are they
tied?
How are they clearly better than Houston? Like, what are you using that to define by? That's the only other defense that I would put in the category with them right now.
Houston's quarterback threw 5 interceptions in a playoff
and
game,
still
and
nearly
they
won.
Still almost won the game because of how great their defense was.
Still nearly won the game because they were around because their defense was elite, and it was well. They had better DBs, a better D line, and they won a Super Bowl. It's like, well,
winning this. I mean,
that's not. I
yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't say they suck. I just said they're one or two. That's offensive. I apologize.
I'm a closet Artis Gilmore fan.
I mean, that's just forever going to be. If I outlive you, I will be at you. I will make sure publicly I note how much you loved the off the beaten path athlete.
Do we need to wear an Artis Gilmore jersey to his funeral? Do we need to find? Can you find an Artis Gilmore jersey anywhere?
Him being buried in an Artis Gilmore jersey would be the
now,
funniest
is
thing.
It a Spurs or a Bulls Artis Gilmore jersey?
Artis Gilmore,
you tell me.
What do you think?
Probably the Spurs.
You go Spurs over
Bulls?
See,
Deion Sanders, you could say the same thing. We could put a poll question. Falcons, Niners,
I'm going to put that up
Cowboys.
Right now. When you think of Deion as a player.
I think people would vote Cowboys.
I think Cowboys is probably number one.
One season was great with the Niners, but
now,
one.
Yeah.
Florida State?
Oh. Throw Florida State on that. It's a four-thing
The Ravens don't belong in there.
No.
Washington
doesn't belong in there. So it's Atlanta, San Francisco, Dallas, Florida State.
Those are the four options.
Because Florida State was where he became prime.
Stepping out of the limo, Florida State Seminole.
Prime time. How dare we disrespect the Cincinnati Reds, too?
He was a Bravo.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Ask you this. If we've talked about this a couple years ago, and it's since not gone well. If Colorado wins 8 to 9 games again this year.
Yeah, they're off to a 1-0 start. Did they play last weekend?
Yeah, they played Georgia
the
Tech
game.
On the
Oh, that's right.
Night
I was, I couldn't remember that was week zero,
they
week one.
The field goal.
That's right.
Does Florida State kick around that idea? If they assume they fire Norvell like we all think they will?
Is that the route you want to go?
I'm not saying it is the route I'd go, but, like, do they go back
they
to
the might
whole,
kick the idea around for sure.
If he wins 9 games at Colorado for the second time.
Right.
Does it?
It's tough because he's had nice moments.
Does that get the boosters to write checks? Does my NIL budget go up significantly?
Is he going to recruit?
Yeah.
If you don't recruit, like, if you don't take that seriously, that's probably something they say to me. Nothing to do with you as a head coach.
I mean, I'm with you there.
Or does he have a general manager and they put a recruiting department together that's serious about it? Whether he's, you know, he needs to be there to close deals, but does he have people that will obviously take it seriously?
Yeah, the staffs of these coaching staffs are crazy.
It's insane
big
how many people they have in those rooms. It's absolutely wild. You're also in the same state as Mario now, and he's going to gobble up all those Florida kids.
No doubt, but, like, I don't know, you're the symbol of swagger at the university.
There's no doubt about it.
It's you, it's Bobby Bowden, and then it's you, it's Peter Warwick.
Yeah, when you think of Florida State like, Florida State figures of all time, he's on the Mount
he's
Rushmore.
He's the Rushmore,
yeah,
right?
Without a doubt.
I don't know. It's something to think about. But, well, nice little start to a Football Friday here.
Yeah, you like
Thanks
that?
For wearing your childhood jersey.
I don't know how this thing still fits. I had to wear a shirt underneath it so nobody gets a midriff. I feel like a football player in 1993 because there's some belly showing in this bad boy.
Yeah, you look like you stole your child's jersey to wear it to work.
If the arms go up.
To prove you're a sports fan, that's what you look like. I love
no,
sport.
I love the Cowboys. I know Dallas Cowboys.
Well, let's start with the Aussie game. San Francisco mollywops the LA Rams in Australia. We'll start there. Football Friday. It's good to be in. Let's get it going next on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the poll question, is the poll question up now?
Poll question is up.
Okay. Poll question is as follows, if you're just tuning in. When you think of Deion Sanders, what jersey do you think of? Falcons, Niners, Cowboys, or Florida State? Right now, early results, 50-50 split between?
Probably Atlanta and Dallas would be my guess.
Correctamundo.
Yeah.
So that's the first poll question. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. We'll have a couple more as the show rolls on. It's going to be a busy little program today because we've got a college football Friday and an NFL football Friday.
It's a better college football slate this weekend, too. Some interesting games early in the morning tomorrow.
There's a juicy game today.
Ooh, rivalry game?
And I'll tell you, we'll get to that coming up in the cafe.
Did you support slavery, yes or no? Did you see that part of that rivalry game?
What?
You didn't see that video yesterday?
You know how out of context what you just said was?
That's what
I
thought.
If I turn the radio on and turn it right on as you said
Have you
that,
ever seen a team use a did you or did you not support slavery in a hype video for a football game?
I mean,
because that was used yesterday.
Wow.
We're on the right side of history.
That's wild.
I mean, you're not wrong, but.
Let's start with the Australia game.
Australia, Mike.
Niners and Rams, their first game of the season, played in Melbourne. I was fine with the Netflix feed for the most part. I lost Wi-Fi momentarily in my house, but that was a me problem, not Netflix.
No, mm-hmm. I thought it was a clean broadcast.
I thought it was good. Nick Foles was fine. Clay was fine.
Yeah, they didn't overdo the pregame set or anything.
Did Elle have a hand condition?
What was going on there?
No, she was wearing gloves.
For what? It was 65 and sunny. I checked the weather.
I was very confused by that.
That was
look.
Part of the outfit.
It was just a fashion statement.
That was a fashion
that
thing.
That was a fashion thing.
Okay. The arms were out and the gloves were on. It
She's
was a unique look.
She's an girl.
I like Elle Duncan.
Duncan's hilarious.
Sometimes people need to be told no, and wearing gloves with a short sleeve thing that's a terrible look.
I think that was part of the outfit.
Cool.
It's like showing up to work in a kid's Deion Sanders jersey, you know? Sometimes you need somebody in your life that's going to tell you dirt. I don't know if it's a good idea, man.
It's like going to Costco and buying shorts. Yeah.
Also, my team plays a Cowboys tomorrow. That was dawning on me as I was driving into work today.
But let's, you know, I think we could just start with this. I think I'm a liar, and I think I'm going to erase what Thursday me said. I watched that whole game start to finish all the way to zeros because when your team's winning, I kind of like to go all the way down to the zeros and not change the channel.
You relish every second of it.
I'm going to confidently tell you, absolutely dumb to fly 18 hours the day before your football game.
Yeah.
I'm just going to venture to guess Matt Stafford's terrible passes all game, Myles Garrett registering zero stats.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to venture to guess that it actually did get an impact on that game, and the Niners housed the Rams.
Yeah.
in a way that I don't think anybody saw.
No, I love the 49ers yesterday for a couple of reasons. One, the exact thing that you're pointing out. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a sleep doctor. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Anybody who's ever flown a long distance of time can tell you it takes a while. You're a little groggy. You don't always sleep perfectly on the plane. It throws things off. And so that strategy made literally no sense to me. I would have argued the same had they won, but at least said, hey, look, I guess they ended up being right. So that was one of the reasons. The other reason I like the Niners is they just kind of own the Rams. This is a matchup that's been very beneficial to Kyle Shanahan, unless he has a safety dropping a pick in the NFC Championship game. Outside of that, like, they kind of dominate them. They beat them last year with Mac Jones at quarterback, and the Rams damn near won the Super Bowl. So it's been a matchup that's been in their favor over the last handful of years. And it made me think of other things that other games where we've had excuses, quote-unquote, built in. Like, I went to the Oregon-Indiana game in my mind from last year. Is the coordinators leaving and having one foot out the door the entire reason Oregon lost the game? No. But it had something to, like, is it 5%, 10%?
It's a big 20? Impact,
it's
though,
a percentage, think, right, yeah, of them losing that game.
Yep.
That's the takeaway from last night. It's not the only reason the 49ers won the game because, again, they've historically had a lot of success against L.A. The Rams also don't play starters in the preseason, and so there's a bit of a sluggish start theme for them, I feel like, every year. But it had some. You cannot tell me it had no percentage impact on the football game because they just looked a little sleepy and out of it.
I mean, I think that's also my takeaway is, like, the Niners had a lot of real positives show themselves yesterday. I look at the other side, though. Bill Plaschke's telling me the Rams are going to go undefeated on their way to a Super Bowl.
I mean, just stop it.
I picked the Rams to go to a Super Bowl in our picks. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, like, attention all over the country about this team, right? I'm just going to go on a limb and venture to say, as happy as I am about the Niners winning that game, Matt Stafford is not going to go 15 of 25 for a buck 50 with a pick and no touchdowns.
Unless Miles Father Garrett's Time hit him. Not going to go an entire game without.
They're going to get Aaron Donald. like Devontae Adams, what did he officially finish with yesterday?
I only remember one catch.
One or two
three
catches
for 20 yards. Yeah. Puka Nacua had the one long one. Other than that, I'm just going to guess that team was absolutely wrecked by that travel plan. Right. And that's not the Rams, because if that's the Rams, you are looking at the Dream Team Eagle all time.
Ooh, buddy.
What a disappointing season that's going to be. So I would just – whether you're rooting against or for the Rams, like, that has to be the takeaway. At least it was for me of, like, this isn't really the Rams. I think we'll really start seeing the Rams the next couple weeks. But – I also want to give credit on the other side.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Because that was incredibly impressive what the Niners defense did, holding the Rams to just 7 points. And then also, I thought, especially in the second half, the offense, man. Like, Brock Purdy was kind of, I thought he was missing a little bit. He was putting the ball too high or too far out.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, he was absolutely dialed.
Yeah, he threw the one bad pick in the first half. He just lost track of that corner who was dropping into the, right into the face of the throw, and that was not a great interception, but then Stafford threw it right back to him on the very next possession on a very similar throw, and so he was able to get away with that one. I mean, the entire game flipped when you get a goal line stop on the 1 yard line, and then you go on a 99-yard touchdown drive, and you completely flip the feeling of the game instead of being, 17, I think it would have been at the time, or maybe it was 21, whatever, but they're coming back in the game. You go 99 yards the other way, and it totally flipped it. The sleeping stuff will be a big talking point for a lot of people, and I'm with you. It is a certain percentage. The vast majority of the story out of last night's game was, can we put some respect on the 49ers' name here? Mm-hmm. Like, they last year somehow made it to the playoffs despite having essentially all of their health, elite players out with injury, not healthy. And I'm watching the game last night, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Fred Warner. Was he playing down the stretch last year?
No.
Okay, pretty good last night.
I mean,
yeah, nice little punch out in the fumble.
He's giving
87 tackles. Yeah. It felt like all over the field. Got it. Okay, Bosa pretty dominant in line of scrimmage.
He was, where he was really great at the run game. Man, he was really good in the run game for them.
Having him on the field, pretty impactful. Yeah. George Kittle, was he there in the playoffs? Well, I guess first game of the playoffs he was, and then not afterwards. I go on and
great
on and
run
on.
Run blocking,
right?
Not much in the receiving category.
No, but he's also first game off of
Achilles. Well, he stayed in and chipped a lot on Myles Garrett.
And he was so good in the run blocking.
To me, it was a good reminder of, like, I don't know where their season's going to go, but in 4 weeks all those guys might be on IR and out for the year, because that's who the Niners have been every year essentially for 6 years. But
that defense looks so good,
dude. It's a reminder of, like, yeah, that's right, when they're healthy they're one of the best teams in the NFL. And oh, by the way, all this talk all offseason about a super team and who can beat the Rams, and they're the shortest favorite we've seen in quite some time to win the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan coach circles around Sean McVay. His game plan offensively to get the run game going. I don't know if those motions towards the line of scrimmage should be illegal, but you keep doing them until they tell you you can't do them, a la the tush push. They're chipping a Myles Garrett. Like, they completely neutralized the most dominant defensive player in the NFL to have literally zero impact on the football game, and a lot of that is because of Trent Williams.
Dude, he was stellar yesterday. No doubt. And by the way, almost 40 years old that dude is at left tackle.
And they also hit him with wide receivers. They hit him with Kittle. They hit him with running.
McCaffrey hit him a bunch of times.
Like, it just, they were coming at him constantly, helping Williams out, and then when Williams had to handle it on his own, he was able to do it. And so it was a great reminder of, like, that's right, that Kyle Shanahan guy, he kind of knows what he's doing.
It helped that Aaron Donald wasn't there in the middle, because they big push. They had some big gashing runs straight up the gut.
Well, I want to ask this. Like, I want to get to the Rams side. I want to stick with the Niners here, but you brought up something that I want to carry into the next segment about Aaron Donald. Like, we need to really think, how is Aaron Donald going to be this year? Taking a couple seasons off, I don't care how jacked you are, if you're curling 110 pounds in each arm, there's going to be some ramp-up effect, or maybe there won't be. Maybe he'll be instantly the greatest DT again that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of curious about that. You mentioned their approach with Garrett. When he had to go against Trent Williams was exceptional. When he wasn't going against Trent, it was chipping with a tight end or a McCaffrey to come over there. There's a lot of takeaways with it. I thought the Niners' front seven was getting shredded on early downs by the Rams in the run department. They shored that up in the second half. That went away.
Yep.
I thought their secondary, San Francisco's, played exceptional. I hated the PI call on Green, who also got the pick on Stafford. Lenore continues to be a stud. I thought their secondary played exceptionally well.
Yep.
And then you look at the offensive side. Debo was exactly what I thought he'd be for them, and if he stays healthy, that is a perfect role for where Debo is in his career. Also nice to have somebody back that knows exactly what the system is. And oh, by the way, hey, it's nice to have a 6'5 Hall of Fame target in the red zone and or on third down, isn't it, Kyle Shanahan? The one area I think they've lacked as an organization, Debo's been great. Ayuk had some moments. They have not, in my opinion, cared enough about the wide receiver position, because I thought Evans showed you what it can mean to have that caliber of player.
For sure it did.
They ended up running the ball 30 times. I think this offense is going to be a little different than we've seen in years past. Kalon Black was great in relieving Christian McCaffrey to not make him have as many touches. He had 10 carries in the game.
Yeah, he only had 15. I think he had 5 catches, too, so he had about 15 touches.
That's, I'd rather have him in the playoffs than week two. I think Kyle Shanahan, because of the addition of Evans, bringing Debo back and ramping up Kittle, DeMarcus Robinson only had a couple catches, but I thought he was good.
One of them was a big touchdown, yeah.
I wonder how much Kyle Shanahan's going to be slinging the rock more this year than his usual more lean on the run game for all of this stuff. And I think that's an interesting dynamic to evaluate with San Francisco as they go forward in their season.
You saw the immediate impact of Mike Evans from the opening drive of the game. Third down, who are you going to?
Yep.
Third down again. Who are you going to? Red zone. Hey, it's third and goal. Who are we going to go to? Like, that's been a thing the Niners haven't done a lot of in their time with Shanahan. Just, hey, here's how many guys have you had? Just goal line fade. Just jump up, go make a play. That was good defense, right? The corner was right in his face, and he was able to come down with it and kind of, you know, gave him the how's the weather down there look. Mm-hmm. Talked a little less. He had a massive impact immediately and just poses a threat offensively that they haven't had from a physicality standpoint. The only hope is, because I'm with you on the wide receiver position, they love Stribling. He went down last night. We'll see. It doesn't sound like it's an Achilles. So, you know, similar to the theme of the 49ers, right? One step forward, one step back from a health standpoint.
Like, the only team suffering injury is the Niners. One tight end I'd never heard of got a concussion, I think, with the Rams. That was it.
Yeah, it was all you had. So hopefully Stribling's going to be okay. But their offense looked sharp, man. And it was outside of the one pick for Purdy, which he just kind of lost track of that corner falling into that route. Other than that, I thought he was really efficient. He knew when to get rid of the football. They screened the hell out of him to neutralize that pass rush a little bit. It was a great plan, and I thought Purdy played really well.
A little bit more on this with the Rams side of things, the addition of Aaron Donald for them, their plan of attack to go to Australia for the game, and just the NFC West in general. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We will open up the cafe coming up. I will ask the question, How many points do the Ducks need to win by this weekend to calm everybody down?
More.
On the other side, what does it need to look like in Corvallis for Oregon State fan to continue to feel great?
Yeah, there was a really good article on your quarterback this week. He's a underdog, undersized guy, people doubting him. It was a fun read. He's going to be an easy guy to root for.
The coach of Texas Tech, I'm pretty sure, doesn't know his name, but we'll get to that coming up the second hour. Is this report true that I'm seeing? I never know it's true anymore. The Rams didn't have Wi-Fi on their plane back?
That was the report on the way there and on the way back, because the plane that they got was basically a sleeping plane, and I don't know why you don't have the capability to put Wi-Fi on that. Somebody smarter than me can answer that question, but I did read that report on the way there because they wanted their guys to sleep the entire time because, they were showing up the day
it
before
is.
The game.
It's wild to me. So you do care about sleep. But sleeping on a plane is not easy for a lot of people.
No.
I can't sleep on a plane. I've tried. Yeah. I've been on a plane for 13 straight hours. I can't.
It's a little bit different maybe in these because they have the ones you like fully. Like I think every player had their own bed
I still couldn't.
Situation. I'm the same way. I would have a really
so
hard time sleeping.
You're telling me you care about sleep, but you're making your team fly the day before the game. What are you doing there?
Made no sense. Now, people try to argue they did it last year with London or wherever they went. They showed up the day before the game and they won.
That's an 8-hour flight, not 17.
Yeah, it's almost half the length of what Australia is. It's a little bit different.
It's 1 week. We don't know what the Niners will be.
No. Nope.
I'll say it again. I think the Rams are going to be a much better team than we saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But it does beg the question of like watching some of this unfold now that the season is actually here and how the NFC West is going to shake out, how the NFC in general is going to shake out. There's going to be a lot of people that are jumping off the Ram bandwagon, and that's only after just one game.
I mean, it was pretty ugly last night. When you're looking historically in the Stafford era and the McVay era together, I mean, that's the kind of game that you just have never really seen before. That 7 points is the fewest they've ever scored with Stafford as their quarterback. It's their first double-digit loss in more than two seasons, going all the way back to 2024. It's only the fourth time in Myles Garrett's career that he finished with zero tackles and zero quarterback hits. Those are all very rare things. And so is it an outlier or is it a sign of things to come? To your point, and I think the NFL has taught us this lesson a million times, just because you have a great offseason does not always mean it will translate to the regular season. And we've seen so many candidates of that. Now, where the Rams felt a little bit different was that they were 5 yards away from winning the NFC title game last year, and they didn't, and so they got better. But they also have a quarterback who's old, who's had back issues. And you look at their schedule over the next month, like I'm not coming up with any hot takes about where they will or will not go. All I'm saying is the NFC West, to me, after the first 2 days of the NFL season, is far more open and interesting than I thought it would have been going into the year. I don't know how many people, even Niner fan included, picked them to win the NFC West coming into the year. They might not win the division, but in Seattle right now, you have Sam Darnold out for an undisclosed amount of time. Drew Lock had a hard time moving the football until Drake May started throwing interceptions. Now their defense will keep them in every game because they are elite. The Niners just got a head-to-head dominant win over the Rams. Now, they come home and get
this. Was technically a road game for them?
A road game.
Which was also what was funny about it. They didn't want the Niners to invade their L.A. stadium, so they went to Australia only to see Niner fans
everywhere.
In the stadium.
Everywhere, dude. They get the Giants on Monday Night Football next week, the Rams do. Then they go to Denver, to Philly, home against Buffalo.
That's four straight tough games.
And this is a team who doesn't play starters in the regular season.
You say they go to the Giants?
They're home against the Giants Monday Night Football, then at Denver, at Philly, home against Buffalo.
I was going to say, if the NFL made them go to Australia and then go to New York, that's
Well, that
brutal.
Was the other part of this to me, too. Like, I grew up a Niner fan. My fandom has simmered as time has gone on. I've still root for them in big games and all that, and I'm ironically wearing a Cowboy jersey.
You're wearing a Cowboy jersey.
But there was an aspect of, like, the NFL bending over to the Rams for this. They demanded this game be the Australia game. The Niners, in return, when they were told you have to play the Rams in Australia, were like, what? Okay. Hey, when we come back, can we please get the Monday game next week so we have one extra day because it's a long flight? You know what the NFL said?
No.
No. Who'd they give the Monday night game to? The team that wanted to go to Australia in the first place, the LA Rams. They play next Monday.
Yeah.
The Niners have to play on Sunday. And so there was a bit of a like, dude, good. This is ridiculous. This game is here. The Rams were cowards and didn't want it in their own stadium. This is too big of a game. We shouldn't be having the second game of the year in daylight, by the way. That sucked the big game vibe out of it completely. So did the Rams' performance. But they're probably going to be okay. I'm just pointing out that schedule's pretty tough over the first month and a half of the year.
Yeah, the Niners will at least get the Dolphins and Cardinals the next 2 weeks. I guess we'll have to wait and see on what those teams are.
Yeah, what the jet lag is coming back.
It's an interesting one from OptiStats. This is the first time in NFL history the top two finishers in the MVP voting previous season each had their team score 10 or fewer points in the season openers.
Sam Monson looking pretty sharp as a Justin Herbert MVP voter last year, huh? Proving him right.
I mean, he had good points on that.
Yes, the offensive line struggles. It's hard to function, isn't it?
What did we make of Australia? I thought, I'll say this. I'm with you on the daylight. I was fooling my family a little bit doing the dad joke. I go,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're playing today for tomorrow.
What?
My youngest was so confused by the wording of it. And I'm like, yeah. They're playing in Australia.
I thought the field looked good. I didn't think there were any field issues whatsoever.
No. The stadium was packed.
Stadium was packed 100,000 plus.
You knew the atmosphere was going to be good. It's Australia, dude.
That Australian national anthem, by the way.
Cool.
Was it a banger? I missed it. I saw the gal with the leaves. What was she doing? They had the leaves.
I think it's a native Australian.
It was a native thing. And okay. It was a formal welcoming and
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it. Okay. Something. I just was like poking in and out of the kitchen, like, what are we doing right now?
Jonas
okay.
Brothers at halftime?
The Jonas Bros. I mean, who doesn't get excited to see the Jonas Brothers? Come
it was
on.
It's one of those, like, I don't wish any team to have to go that far to play an NFL game in the regular season.
But the production of the game.
I thought the
was
fans,
great.
The city, like, it was very welcoming. I think they What's Steve Irwin's kid? He's become a superstar now. Is it Robert Irwin?
Maybe.
He did an interview and he was like, dude, we love American football. Like, he was just ranting and raving about how much they love. I mean, they love rugby, right? So
well, yeah, they kept showing during the Seahawks game a watch party.
Yeah.
In Melbourne somewhere with a whole bunch of Seahawks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Robert Irwin and his daughter's name is Bindi.
Bindi.
Bindi, I remember. Yeah, that one stands out. That's a fun name to
say. I thought it was good. I mean, it sucks to have, travel that far for a regular season game, but I thought overall, like, Australia seemed like a good host and the production was good. And I didn't know how to feel about Noah Eagle and Luke Kuechly.
I thought Kuechly was fine.
I think it was great.
There was moments in this. He didn't get a joke one time, and that was a little awkward. Eagle had a comment where he was, they said Devontae Adams hadn't had a catch yet, and then the next play threw it to Devontae Adams, and he dropped a blind squirrel finds a nut joke, and Kuechly was like, what? He's like, you get the saying, you know? So there was a few moments like that, but I thought overall he was fine.
No, Eagle is quickly rising to, like, the number two.
He's everywhere,
almost
man.
Nationally. And
he is everywhere.
I don't know how to feel about this.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Ian, though.
I do love the broadcaster late in the game trying to keep things interesting when it's not interesting.
That's terrible.
Niners keep running this ball. They don't want to give the Rams a chance. It's like, dude, there's 4 minutes left. It's 27-7.
Well,
this
the Rams
game
quit.
is over. Stetson Bennett's going to be in the game in about 90 seconds, all right?
By the way, wear bigger shoulder pads. You look so odd with your small shoulder pads and big helmet, Stetson Bennett. What are we doing there?
I also find it weird that you just took a quarterback in the first round. Let's get him a couple snaps.
Just maybe that's why they say F them picks. They don't make good
the
picks.
The game is meaningless at that point.
You know. A lot to get to in the second hour. Let's open up Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 on 105.1 The Fan.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. And in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.